Hi, this is Alan here with Game Grooves, and I'm joined by a very special guest, Cass, from A Bit of Chiptune.
Oh.
Hi. Welcome to the Game Grooves Uncovered podcast. I am guest host Alan, also the creator and manager of Game Grooves, for anyone that didn't know. And today, we're going to be talking about an important topic, something that I think everyone needs to consider and reflect on. There was an article that Cass recently wrote called Bystander Intervention, Preventing Sexual Violence in Chiptune Part 1, which it's a big title, but it implies that there's going to be a part 2 and maybe more. However, I thought this would be a perfect time to discuss some of the contents of the article, which this particular article talks about the fact that the opening line is this: the chiptune scene has an unfortunate history of sexual assault and abuse. That's a pretty bold way to start the article. But what I really enjoyed about this article wasn't just that you could point out to several examples, I'm sure, of this, but rather this article is a way to moderate that sexual assault and abuse and to give actionable ways that bystanders and other people can help to reduce the influences of negative and toxic people. So I liked that was the focus of the article. Was that something that you did consciously rather than trying to, you know, I think people that are reading this article kind of just accept that as a fact because they've either experienced it personally or they're just aware of the fact that it happens, right?
Right. Yeah, that was definitely something that I did intentionally. I think that the most important thing right now is to give people the tools to sort of treat this issue that we're feeling right now. Also, as the person who basically led the writing process of this without a ton of other involvement, except by the end, I also didn't want to share anyone's stories that they would be uncomfortable sharing. So in future parts, there might be references to specific instances of sexual violence, but for the purpose of first, that content isn't always productive because sometimes it can provide sort of harm to people who are reading it. Content warnings are great, but more directly, just the focus here is to treat it, not just make it known.
Right. That's a good point. And you know, my experience with the chiptune community isn't as extensive as yours, obviously. But even in, you know, it's hard to say like chiptune community and VGM community, but even in the community that I'm more familiar with, right? Game Grooves wrote an article, or I wrote an article about this very topic regarding Grimecraft, who was later dropped from Materia Collective and then later Game Chops. So clearly, I'd rather not get into those specific examples. I'm just trying to say, I think everyone that's reading this article hopefully can agree, yes, this happens. It's a problem. What do we do? That seems to me to be the topic of the article, what to do, which I like. It's not just a, hey, it's a problem. Because I think at this point, hopefully most people realize it's a problem. And so moving on, you list some red flags. And what I really, really like is that you gave three different examples of what people can do to, if they're in that situation or if they're seeing someone else in that situation. Distraction, direct confrontation, or delegate, right? Sorry, do you want to go over those really quickly, or?
Yeah, so basically, as a bystander, if you're witnessing signs of a sexual assault about to happen, or if you are witnessing a sexual assault, I've been basically trained a little bit on this, and I cross-checked it with a few other sources that there are 3 to 4, and usually if there are 4, they're both kind of a fused version of the third one, and things that you can do. And those are creating a distraction, addressing it directly, or delegating to other people around you. So, I mean, I feel like the article does a good summary real quick. Creating a distraction is just trying to get the attention of the, I think the word is assailant or the assaulter, in order to sort of indirectly diffuse the conflict. Being more direct is maybe directly cutting in, getting in between two people, something that makes it very clear that what's going on is not okay and that you want to do something about it, or you are doing something about it. And then delegation is calling to other people around you in order to get a better understanding of the situation, or to find strength in numbers, or maybe find somebody who is better equipped to handle the situation.
Right. So when I was reading this article, one thing came to mind. I remember there was this video, and I'm not going to remember the link to it, but there was this video of, I think it was a young woman that was being followed by somebody, and there was this group of people that, like, somebody clearly caught on, okay, something's not right, this girl's looking frightened, right? So they pretended to be a group of friends and like, oh, come on over and you got to talk with us, blah, 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 blah. So that kind of, I guess, is a mixture of distraction and direct, because they directly got in between, you know, the person that was following this girl, and they also distracted by kind of basically saying like, hey, we're paying attention, and now, you know, the person that was following the other person, the potential assailant, they have to think twice about, do I want to continue, you know, harassing this person? And I think I read that it defused the situation successfully. So you know, distraction, you mentioned it, distraction is one of the safer ways of trying to diffuse a situation, which definitely is important, because I know that, you know, sometimes putting yourself in, quote unquote, in the line of fire might be a little bit intimidating, or you're just worried that are you going to, quote unquote, make it worse, especially if it's somebody that's, you know, physically bigger than you, right? Mm-hmm. And if there's somebody that's physically bigger than you, then maybe you delegate and, you know, bring other people in. But yeah, I think let's not call it the unfortunate truth. Speaking from personal experience, I think what's hardest, if you're, let's say you're not you'd say you're not a, I don't know if the victim's the right term, but you're not the person that's the, I guess, victim, and you're not the assaulter, you're a bystander, but maybe you have a relationship with that potential assaulter or person mm-hmm. that's harassing somebody else. That's a tough situation to be in, right? I think it's really hard for people to confront the reality, the truth that their friends may not be the people that they think they are, right?
I think that can be a difficult situation especially in the long term for your mental health and for your relationship with that person.
Right.
But I do think that, you know, these like red flags that I listed out, these kind of, you know, identifying sexual assault and sexual violence, is not, I would say, especially difficult. When you are a friend of the assaulter, you are actually, I would say, the safest person to do something about it, because you're not going to be put in danger if you interact with the assaulter, most right. likely, because right. you two are friends.
Right.
So I think that there is some difficulty in, I would say, recognizing that person as someone who could be harmful.
Mm-hmm.
But you are simultaneously sort of the safest person in the room.
Right. And that's kind of my point is, I don't want to say the responsibility falls to you first, but if you see those red flags, I can speak, like, again, from personal experience, it's difficult having that conversation with somebody, but hopefully it makes a difference. Usually it's not going to be, well, it can hopefully make a difference. And if it doesn't, then you consider the idea of cutting that person out. Obviously that's a totally different conversation, but I liked that you again pointed that out, that people who are in a position of authority or friends were probably going to be the best for direct confrontation, because if it's somebody that's on the other side or somebody they don't know, that can definitely escalate things. So I guess that's kind of like a onus. The onus is on, you know, if you're seeing something that a friend is doing, you should be very aware of it, and you shouldn't be afraid to say something, because I like I said, these kinds of things have a tendency to, I don't know, escalate. So the next point to make is delegate. So as somebody who's been in a couple different organizations, Game Lark being the first one, Game Grooves, I've had to deal with this kind of thing before, where people reach out to me and say something happened and I'm feeling uncomfortable, and then I have to make the decision of how to handle it. I'm curious, have you, I kind of want to get into further detail for each of these topics. So have you had, do you have any additional strategies for handling something if you're in a position of authority, and like how to be aware and make sure that you're basically doing everything you can to create a safe and inclusive space?
Yeah, in fact, that's in large part what part two is going to be covering, in terms of constructing a space and a culture that basically allows people to, that sort of inherently reduces sexual assault. I would say that one really good example of somebody who was able to do that was Glenn Dubois. When I was over at MAGFest, Glenn was great at making it clear that this kind of thing wasn't okay. And also in kind of knowing that women and queer people are very often the target of sexual assault. Mm-hmm. Glenn put up pride flags right outside of MAGFest stage, which wasn't just for pride, but also acted as, you might say, a shield, because, and I para-quote him, there are certain kinds of people who will walk past that line, and these are not the kind of people who are welcome here. And that's when we left the stage, he was always present. He would check in with people and just make sure that, like, everybody was being respectful and safe. And he was definitely, like, he definitely felt like one of the group, but simultaneously it was clear that he was playing the role of somebody who could intervene. When setting up the show, he was surprisingly so extremely sympathetic to a lot of the difficulties that my particular group faced, because it was made up of a lot of trans and queer individuals. So that was just really cool. But more directly, you know, for example, that shield, having someone who's very simply, like, attentive and will speak up about things unapologetically, is, I would say, something that authorities can do. In Infinite Lives, I guess to add one more thing, if we saw any of these quote-unquote red flags, it's a digital space. Honestly, we just kicked them. Like, that's it. We just if someone is being intimidating or, like, being weird and coercive, like, they're just out, you know. If someone's, like, doing sexually offensive comments that are harmful towards the people in the stream. Like, they're just, boop, they're out. And I think being unafraid to make those calls are also a step. At that point, you get a little bit more into the digital world, but I think that that also, to some extent, applies to physical spaces, because if someone's doing harmful, something harmful, and things are going to escalate to something 20 times worse than it should ever, then it's important to act on it in some way. So I also just like read this. During writing this, I reached out to some of the organizers who I used to work with, and I learned that a lot of them aren't trained on this topic. So literally just reading the article that I wrote and sort of taking it to heart, it gives a lot of options. It gives a lot of sort of applicable knowledge on how to deal with a topic like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And from what you're saying, it, you know, creating a safe and inclusive space is not just about being reactive, right? It's about being proactive, meaning mm-hmm. making sure, you know, in your example, you know, hanging up the rainbow flag, or this person that you mentioned who is checking in and making sure that you all are feeling comfortable, not just waiting for something to go wrong, but making sure things mm-hmm. go right. And that's something yeah. That sounds easy to do, but it's not. yeah. So, you know, I think ideally, at least this is how I would see this article. This is kind of like a jumping off point. You know, you mentioned some links at the bottom. You have sources, you're training with Green Dot, UTMB Health, RAIN. Do you have any additional resources? Are those good places to go if people want to learn more about, I guess, what ways that they can mitigate, you know, sexual assault and sexual violence and sexual harassment in both the physical and digital spaces?
Mm. So I have a few more links that I'm going to need to look at before I can recommend. I would recommend Green Dot, but it is a training course that not everyone might not have access to.
Mm-hmm.
University of Texas is the University of Texas. its health offices deal with a lot of different things. They just had a very good comprehensive list of specifically red flags that I was able to draw and affirm basically with my own training what those were, using that second source. RAIN is great, actually, as far as I'm aware. I haven't looked too into it. They, as I said before, there are other versions other than Distract and Direct and Delegate. But RAIN sort of has an alternate version with four words. Mm-hmm. That's basically the exact same thing. So, I mean, it's not going to say exactly what I wrote, but it is going to be a good resource for anybody who wants to check that out. Because looking at the website now, they just have a lot of resources on learning about sexual violence and preventing it.
Okay, so there's definitely, those are some good places to start. And then I'm sure with a little bit of research, you know, other people can find some additional sources. The last thing I want to say, you had you list a couple of editors at the end of the article. Mm-hmm. Were they, did they help you in terms of the content or just the editing? I'm just curious.
I would say, well, specifically, Rainbow Trash helped out with the examples for distraction, because mm-hmm. I had some insufficient examples for what distract would look like. I think Adam helped with basically removing a portion that just sort of felt out of place and would be more appropriate for a future part. And Kay kind of just looked it over and gave me the final thumbs up.
Okay.
So that's exactly how they were involved. Rainbow awesome. Trash has also been incredibly supportive of me this entire time. Are you familiar with that name?
Yes, I think I may have talked with that person once or twice. I definitely am familiar with them, though.
Yeah, okay.
So I wanted to take this opportunity to kind of segue from this article into a bit of chiptune at large. For anyone that doesn't know, a bit of chiptune is an organization kind of similar to Game Grumps in a way. There's a website, they release music. I believe it's yourself and who's the other person that's involved? I forget their name at this point.
At this point, it's mostly me
and
various staff members. It was founded by myself and Triss, though Triss is currently pursuing other endeavors.
Gotcha.
But
the important thing about a bit of chiptune is I would say it was created in response to a problem, and the problem is exactly what's listed in this article, which is that there was kind of an environment that existed that was not conducive to women, to people in the LGBTQ+ community, and even people of color, from what I understand. And a bit of chiptune was a reaction and response to say, let's create a safe and inclusive community where people that maybe don't feel like they're part of the in crowd or whatever, I don't know if that's the right term, but a safe and inclusive environment for people that want to create chiptune, right? Is that a fair assessment?
I think that's an approximate. I can clarify on kind of how it worked out exactly. So Triss and I are trans. We are both Mexican. We are both women who, hold all of these different kind of experiences and understandings of the world. We founded a podcast and we founded a Discord chat, which is the Discord chat that you might be familiar with now. And realized, especially I realized, but Triss as well, partway through, I think it was September of, was it 2019 especially, was when someone really spoke out about it, but this was something we were aware of for a while, that people weren't really comfortable in a lot of the mainstream chiptune scenes, especially women, minorities, especially the queer, trans, and Black community just weren't comfortable in these main chiptune spaces. And as trans people ourselves, we just kind of almost accidentally created a perfect space for them to hang out and sort of cultivate their craft. And we basically witnessed all of these terrible stories of things that would happen in the mainstream chiptune scene, and sort of accidentally at first, but intentionally after a bit, became a safe haven for people who just couldn't exist in those spaces because they weren't accommodated for, or they couldn't be a part of it, really.
Okay, that's that's a great summary.
And then I'd say right around was it June or May of this year, we kind of struck an outward strike on a couple other communities, just because the situation was so almost comically wrong that I felt that we had to do something about it. And more broadly, we just wanted to be a model for doing things kind of a better way than what exists in the scene now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like I said, there's definitely a core ethos that's important to a bit of chiptune. It's obviously, centered around music, but also this idea that there needs to be a safe and inclusive place for the for the people that you mentioned. So first of all, I just want to say I haven't talked to you about the website yet, but it looks great. I like the changes. For those that don't know, like I said, there's a blog, which obviously the article that I'm referring to for this podcast is part of that blog. There's also featured artists, which have their own bio pages, and then music associated with that. And then also, can you talk a little bit about your show, Infinite Lives, that you did with, oh, I'm blanking on the name. It was somebody, it was a group in Paris, right?
Right, a group in Paris called All You Can Eat, led especially by Marie. They did such a wonderful job working on that with me. They seriously did a lot of the work, and I don't feel right kind of like taking all the credit for that. But yeah, Infinite Lives was great. It was a series of socially distanced shows that was created in order to basically feature the diversity that we weren't seeing in the scenes, and basically push out talent that we felt was underrepresented. And, you know, that definitely, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we really just wanted to feature, like, good music, if that makes sense.
No, it does.
It was a big success. You know, if I, what is it, we raised, like, just under $10,000 for the musicians who played and for Black Lives Matter charities, which if you're aware of the unfortunate history of musicians not getting paid, that should grab your attention.
Yeah, I was going to say, I am aware of that unfortunate history, even especially within the chiptune space. Not naming any names.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so I managed to catch one of those shows for a few minutes. I'm old, and so I don't get on Twitch very often, but it was, from what I saw, it was very well put together, and, you know, it seemed like a really fun and creative space, so I wanted to call attention to that. So is that something that's going to be a recurring thing, or do you think that's going to be just a special, like a one-time thing?
Oh, I can say that this is definitely going to reoccur. I'm not going to give you a time, but Infinite Lives 2021 at the very least is going to be a thing that that you can quote me on.
Okay. Awesome. I will. So we've talked about the website, the blog, that's important. Infinite Lives. So as far as the music goes, do you want to take a second to talk about some of the albums that you've done? I definitely want to mention Halen Star, because I love Halen Star, and I like any kind of like mascot or whatever you want to call it. I know that you're working on, is it Fatal Furies? Is that the right name of the series?
It's called Fighting Furies.
Fighting Furies, okay.
Yeah. So that is being directed by Jack. I'm playing a big role in it as well, especially managing the tournament and all that. But it was ultimately Jack's idea to have an album that where all of the participants submitted songs for their own original characters, and the entire sort of sound, the album would be kind of an imaginary soundtrack for a fighting game.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the premise.
Which is a cool premise. Okay.
Yeah.
And Halen Star, how did Halen Star come about? That, for anyone that doesn't know, that's the, I guess, quote unquote mascot for a bit of chiptune.
Yeah. Halen Star came about, oops, sorry. Halen Star is inspired by Madeline from what's that game that Lena Raiden composed for? Celeste,
yep.
I don't know, the about says, oh, a fictional character who fell from the stars, cute space aesthetic. It's just like a cute mascot that I constructed to kind of represent the community spirit of a bit of chiptune. And is featured as an artist, quote unquote, on our artist page, because one thing that I feel is really important for a bit of chiptune is to not recenter things on a bit of chiptune constantly. So part of that is putting kind of the quote unquote a bit of chiptune releases on just sort of like another artist page under the name Hail and Star.
Okay.
But let's see. Yeah, so Hail and really came about for the first time when creating the album art for our album RXX, which was released December 1st, 2019. I remember that because it was our first album, and it's just a little character with long hair, pixelated, falling from the sky with streams of colored, bright colors emanating from them. And then from there, we just kept releasing albums, and Halen became a fully realized character.
Right, and I'm looking at the Bandcamp page right now, so you have 5 albums out currently for that Hail and Star character, or a bit of chiptune compilation albums, I guess you could call them, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. So if anyone wants to check that out, I think I've heard Damn, That's Good, the album. I need to work my way backwards. Totally planning on checking out Fighting Furies too, right, when that's done. And lastly, I kind of wanted to end things on a positive note. Yeah. I have made no, what do you call it? I've made it very clear. I want to see more Eichenfeld covers, and I want to give you a shout out for making an Eichenfeld cover. I want to shout out to my friend Ropan Aganti first, because he was the person that kept bugging me to check out the soundtrack. He's like, I know you're going to like it. I know you're going to like it. And so finally one day I checked it out, and I was like, okay, he's right. I do.
It's so good.
It is really so good. And it's easy to draw comparisons between it and other soundtracks, but at the same time, it's hard to. Like, it exists on its own. You don't have to say, oh, it's kind of like this. It's like, no, just listen to it. It's a good soundtrack. You'll like it.
Yeah, well, I don't feel like at any point I ever had the need to compare it to anything, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know. And it's so... it's just so good. I don't know. I made a cover of it, and I like wrote lyrics for a song that didn't have lyrics, and it was fun. But like, you're gonna see a lot more covers from me. Like, good. I'm actually not that far into that game, but like, I don't know. There are certain tunes, like, is his name Roy or Rook or whatever? Like, his tune's really cool because it has a guitar riff that increases one beat each time it's played for the intro, and it just has this whole weird, like, rhythmic segment at the very start that's really fun. There's another one that goes, do-do-do-do-do, do-do-do-do-do, and it does that kind of a callback to it, but the piano comes in, and, like, relative to before when it was just a Game Boy Pulse, it's so full and energetic and just good tracks, very distinct, strong music that I've just make me happy every time.
Yeah, and the game itself is being praised for its portrayal of LGBTQ plus characters, and just being kind of like a, I don't know, just having a good portrayal with good characters and good music. It basically doesn't get better than that. Yeah. And the gameplay is really fun, and I'm not a big turn-based fan, but they managed to make it a fun turn-based RPG, light RPG, for sure. And I've only gotten a few like an hour or so into it, but I'm enjoying it so far. Yeah. So check the game out, check that soundtrack out, check out obviously a bit of chiptune. Do you have anything else that you want to add, or do you want to talk about part two maybe of the article, anything like that?
Two quick things. First off, huge shout out to Johanna Blackheart, who did a lot of the writing for Eichenfeld, and specifically did things such as adding the content warnings, which are a huge step forward and important thing to add to, I think, any piece of media, especially games. Mm-hmm. So just, we talk about how great the game is. That's the name, Johanna Blackheart, or okay. Johanna Blackheart. And part two is largely going to be about how we can build spaces and build cultures that, as you said, proactively affect sexual assault. Part one was about how to react to a dangerous situation. That's part one because knowing how to do that is necessary. And if people are going to read one thing, I want them to read that. But equally, if not more importantly, we need to sort of construct a culture that makes it so that that situation doesn't happen in the first place. So future parts will be working on that for the most part.
Okay, awesome. Well, thank you so much for taking the time and chatting with me. Also, for those that don't know, I did an interview with Cass, I can't remember, a few months ago, maybe over the summer. So if you're looking for additional information or you just are bored and want to read something, feel free to check out that interview. Of course, check out a bit of Chiptune for everything that they do, both music and otherwise. And thank you, Cass, once again.
Thank you.